Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, or not Jews, carried away under these dumb idols," and maybe we can talk about that, "even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I know we prayed, but Lord, please help us tonight. In Jesus' name." Next, we're going to go to chapter 14, but we're going to take a little bit of time to get there. I'm Pentecostal. Don't apologize for it. I believe in the gift of the Spirit. Believe in the power of the Spirit. Believe that God is still able to heal the sick. Believe that Jesus is still on the throne, and the book is still true, every word of it. And that as we look to Him and depend upon Him, there's no limit to what God can do for us. Again, I don't apologize for that. But Paul is teaching about the gifts of the Spirit. And they're listed in this chapter, chapter 12. I won't go through them. We probably already know them. We're going to talk about two, one just a little bit and another one for the most of the evening. He says, "I would not have you ignorant." There are a number of letters or epistles. Everything after the book of Romans is corrective. Romans teaches doctrine. And Corinthians and Galatians and what have you, they teach doctrine, but there's a great bit of correction that takes place. And Paul is teaching and correcting. But he says, I give you to understand in verse 3 that no man that speaks by the Holy Ghost or prophesies or gives a word of wisdom or knowledge or anything like that, or speaks in tongues and then it's interpreted. Nobody that's speaking from God will end up cursing Jesus. No prophecy that's truly from God is going to take away from His deity or His perfection or His mercy or any of the qualities that we know that Jesus has. There, you can turn on that idiot box there, turn on the TBN or Daystar or whatever, and you got all kind of fools saying all kind of things that are just simply wrong. We are truly living in the days of Laodicea. We're truly, truly God is ashamed of the modern day church. But I endeavor to open the book and to teach what it says without coloration, to the best of my ability. I want to teach what it says, not what my denomination says, not what my movement says, not what the deacon board says I ought to say if I'm a pastor. What does the book say? And many times people are upset about that, but that's just the way it is. But he says, if you're going to talk about spiritual gifts, they're going to glorify Jesus Christ. They're going to agree 100% with the written Word of God. Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, not the Apocrypha. That's not part of the Bible. And I love to teach from the Old Testament. I like the New, prefer the Old, because you can dig in the Old and find Jesus Christ on practically every page. Paul wrote the book of Romans. He wrote the book of this one here, 1 Corinthians. He quoted from the Old. Jesus quoted from the Old. Your doctrine should come from the Old Testament first, and then the interpretation or the illumination or understanding of, oh, that was talking about Jesus or what have you. You can get that from the New Testament. But you need to have a foundation in the Old, and you need to go to the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony. In other words, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, what have you, the book of Psalms, etc. Go to the Old Testament. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And that's what Paul said. I give you to understand that no man that gives a prophecy that's truly from God is going to say something that puts Jesus in a bad light. And that's an important part. I talked about TBN and whatever. I hate watching that stuff. They say all kind of things that are just simply not right. And it makes me very ashamed. It makes me very angry. Jesus gave his life, went to the cross, was nailed to the cross for you and me, not so that we could get a better car or a hundredfold return or any nonsense. He gave his life so that we could be saved. And then he said after he rose from the dead, okay, now go and tell somebody else about it. A true prophecy is going to be along those lines. John chapter 16, just a few verses you can turn or not, but John chapter 16, verse 12 through 15, Jesus is speaking. He says, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Anyone that speaks by the Spirit, if he doesn't glorify Jesus Christ, it's not the Holy Spirit. Maybe the person made it up. Maybe the person wants to be noticed. Maybe the devil's speaking through the person. I don't know. But as we'll see further on down, a prophecy should be judged. A sermon should be judged. What I'm giving you, what your pastor tells you, what somebody on TV tells you, go to the Bible. If what they say or what I say or what your pastor says is different from the Bible, then take the Bible's word for it and discount the preacher.
That's right. If it don't line up with the Word of God, right?
That's right. You got to go with the Word of God. A prophecy, which is what we're talking about, if it's not 100% in line with the Word of God, it's wrong. For whatever reason, it's wrong. Again, he shall glorify me. And anybody that speaks by the Spirit is going to glorify Jesus, or something's not right. Back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 7, it says, Now there are diversities or many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Many differences of administrations or how the gifts are used, but the same Lord. And again, He shall glorify me. The point is Jesus. The point is not, ooh, look at me, I'm speaking in tongues. The point is not, ooh, look at me, I stood up in church and gave a prophecy. The point is not us.
That's right. Amen.
The point is Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
If, what did Paul say? He said, we preach not ourselves. Oh, wow. So much for TBN. They talk about themselves. There are diversities of operations of the different gifts, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, let's go to the next chapter, if you would.
Shall we see what that means to profit?
Well, if you have a job, you go to the job to get money to buy food and whatever. You don't go to the job because you like doing it, because people really don't like going to work. A gift of the Spirit should be used so that others may benefit. If there's no benefit, there's no point. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's start at verse 1 through 3. And I've kind of got these grouped, and there's a lot here, and I'm going to skip at some point, but follow after charity or perfect love, selfless love. Follow after selfless love and desire spiritual gifts, and there are nine listed, but Paul says out of the nine, pray that you can prophesy. It talks about speaking in tongues, and that's biblical, what have you, but he says he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he doesn't speak to men, but unto God. If, for instance, I speak Haitian Creole, then say, Jésus béninou, okay, fine, I know what it means. And maybe, you know, if somebody was here from Haiti, they would say, that's good. But you don't have an idea what I said. I said, Jesus bless us, in a foreign language. But unless you understand the foreign language, or unless, like I just did, I interpreted it, I can say, Gloire à Jésus, all day long, and you don't have the first clue of what I'm talking about. So, it is bad, very bad French.
Okay.
It's Haitian Creole down in Haiti. Right, you don't know. Unless somebody interprets or unless you learned it, you don't know. So, he talks about tongues just a little bit, but if it's not interpreted, it says he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up, profits himself, but he that prophesies or speaks in a language everybody else knows, it edifies or profits or benefits the entire church. And he says, I would that you all spoke with other tongues, but I'd rather that you prophesy. For greater is those, or that he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues. Charismatic church, everybody wants to speak in tongues. Pentecostals, maybe not as much, but they still do. But the important thing in a service is not, hey, look at me, I'm speaking in a language nobody understands. It's, hey, let's talk about the Lord. Let's glorify Him. Let's have everybody understand what's being said. And that's what Paul is saying here. Except he interpret the end of verse 5, that the church may receive edifying, which is what I just explained. But he goes on, and I'm going to skip a lot of this. in verse 13, wherefore let him, and again he's talked a bit, and he says, wherefore, the end of the matter, what have you, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. At one point it says that if you speak in an unknown tongue and there's no interpreter, then you ought to kind of lower your voice and speak to you and God and don't interrupt nobody else. Because they're probably trying to pray and understand and would have you. And if you get too loud, well, you're too loud. But he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Yeah, you can speak in tongues and edify yourself, but your understanding is unfruitful. If God gives you the ability to speak in tongues and you speak Swahili and don't know what Swahili is, how have you benefited? You don't have any understanding of what you said, and that's what he's saying. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all you're getting, or while you're at it, get understanding. Get understanding. The Bible is meant to be an open book. We're to study to show ourselves approved. We're to try and understand. We're to find hopefully somebody that teaches right and make it a point to listen to them often, and so you can learn, so that you can understand what the things of God are all about, so that you can understand what God's will is for you, etc. And again, he contrasts speaking in tongues that nobody understands with a prophecy. And the gift of interpretation of tongues is just that. If somebody speaks in a language nobody understands, by the Spirit, and then by the same Spirit God gives the interpretation to somebody else, or to you, then the end result, tongues plus interpretation, is prophecy. And people can benefit by the prophecy. That makes sense?
Can you say that last sentence again?
If you put tongues and interpretation together,
okay,
the end result is prophecy.
Okay.
It's equivalent. It's just two steps instead of one. And again, these are gifts of the Spirit. This is not what we choose to do. You can't prophesy. You can't just make things up and say, oh, God spoke to me. It should be a prompting from God. Now, again, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. One of them is healing. Another one's the working of miracles. If somebody's deaf and you pray for them and they get healed, you didn't do it. God did it. In the Bible, there are many instances of different kinds of miracles, supernatural things, but not a healing, such as the time that Paul and Silas were in jail and God supernaturally set them free. Or Paul was in jail and God set them free. Or Daniel in the lion's den and he spent all night with a lion for a pillow, perhaps, I suppose, because they didn't eat him. That's a miracle. That's not something you can do. But when Daniel was in that lion's den all night with hungry lions who weren't fed for 3 or 4 days so they could be hungry, that was a miracle. That was not Daniel convincing the lions, hey, you really don't want to eat me, do you? That was a miracle. If God does something, why don't we admit God does something? And let me say this. Some churches teach that God forgot how to do miracles. Some teach that, well, you know, God likes sick people, so he took away the gift of healing. That's ridiculous. When Jesus was on this earth, everywhere he went, he healed the sick. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick. You can read in Acts chapter 28, Paul, he went to this town, and what do you know? He's healing the sick. He sent the disciples 2 by 2, said, go preach the gospel and heal the sick everywhere you go. These are things that men cannot do. It's the power of God, and the power of God is still active today if we will trust God. If our church tells us God doesn't heal, maybe we ought to find a different church. I'm sorry, all I know is to go back to the Bible. In the Gospels, there were times where Jesus couldn't do many wonderful works because of their unbelief. And we live in a society of unbelief. There are churches all up and down the road on every corner that teach unbelief. Well, God doesn't do that. And well, that's unbelief, right? That says we don't believe that God did anything. That's unbelief. And it ties. That's right. That's right. Yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. We changed. Maybe we need to change back and believe the book. But let's get back to our lesson. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he goes on again about this understanding part. And this book is about correction, a lot of it. What is it then? Or what's the deal? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray also with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding also. And then he says, this is kind of getting kind of weird, I guess, but he says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how that he's in the, whoever's in the room, they don't know what you're talking about. How can they say amen? Let's sit down to eat, and somebody wants to pray for the food, and they come up with, I don't know, Spanish, and nobody knows Spanish. How's anybody going to say amen when the end of the prayer is finished because nobody understood what was being talked about, right? He says you got to have understanding. I'm going to go and speak in tongues, but I'm going to major, he said, in teaching and prophesying and testifying and exhorting in the language of the people. He says, and this is kind of sarcasm, I guess, where thou truly gave thanks. Well, you did a good job praying, but nobody understood a word you said. He says, I thank my God, I probably speak in tongues more than you all, but when I go to church, I'd rather speak 5 words that you did understand than 10,000 that you didn't. God is not the author of confusion. Again, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but my point, my message is always going to be what Jesus did and what he can do for us. And what happens if we don't live right. It's going to be to glorify him and to open the word of God and teach it to the best of my ability. Then he goes on. In fact, let me skip some of this, I guess. He gives a lot of instruction, and I want to pass over it a lot and kind of cut this short. But it says in verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, those that are moved upon by the Spirit to speak in tongues or to give a prophecy or a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, what have you. Okay, fine, the Spirit's impressing you to do that, but God's not going to force you to do it. He says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It's said that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force anyone to do anything. He may strongly tell you, look, do this or don't do that. But you have a free will. And you can obey or not. Now, if God is moving upon you to give some kind of word of wisdom or something, that's God's will, but he's not going to force you. He will respect you. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. We went over John. We said that the Spirit of God will glorify Jesus, will speak of Jesus, will testify of Jesus, will make Jesus look good. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace and understanding. The last two verses in the chapter, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. But the last verse, let all things be done decently and in order. There are some churches I've been into that anybody, anytime they wish, they'll stand up and at the top of their lungs they'll speak in Swahili or something, and everybody's supposed to stop what they're doing and listen, even the preacher in the middle of his sermon. And that's not right. That's not right. God gave the man the message. He's probably studied for decades and has decades of experience, and he prayed maybe all week and studied all week and got a commentary and searched on the internet and made sure that what he had to say was exactly what God wanted to say, that his theology was right, and if he didn't understand something, he went and looked it up. And okay, it's time to preach. In the middle of his sermon, somebody jumps up and interrupts him. Well, they're out of order. Generally, in many churches, churches I like to hang out in, when the preacher's finished, there's supposed to be a time of invitation, time of prayer. If somebody immediately says, hey, you know, I'm going to speak in Swahili, well, you're out of order. There's an order. Let all things be done decently and in order, that there be no confusion, and that Jesus Christ would be magnified. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.